me. I'm Amelia Bordeaux from Market Compass LLD, and I do hope everybody is safe and well in these very unprecedented times. I go between New York City and Florida, but I did leave New York City in early March, so I've been in Florida the whole time. And so just as a background here, we are starting to reopen the economy, and stores and restaurants are starting to open for the past week and a half at reduced capacities, 25%, and now on Monday we moved to 50%. So we may talk a little bit more about that later and what we're seeing. But anyway, I run Market Compass LLC, and I specialize in global macro trading, and my asset class is foreign exchange. I do foreign exchange, spot, and futures trading mainly. So this presentation today is on Forex, dealing with uncertainty across all markets when you're trading Forex. And so I wanted to start off by showing you, this is a picture I took of Wall Street subway. This is the 1-9 line and the 2-3 line down into Wall Street. And this, these are actually the stairs I would exit every day when I worked at Deutsche Bank. And Deutsche Bank is actually, on Wall Street, which is not, which is kind of funny because most of the banks aren't like literally located on Wall Street. But this was my subway exit, and Deutsche Bank's actually at top of those stairs. So I just put it on the cover here for you. As a disclaimer, as is everyone's disclaimer, it's pretty standard, you know, you need to trade markets at your own risk and don't trade with money that you can't afford to lose. Trading markets, and especially these markets, is very risky. And why sometimes you see people when they talk about strategy, and this is the same when you work at a major bank and you're giving strategy and trade recommendations to clients, we always say that this is research, this is strategy, this is not a trade recommendation. And the reason why we say that is because we don't know, it's not that we don't have conviction in our ideas, it's just because we don't know what else you're holding in your portfolio. So, you know, we don't know how correlated or uncorrelated this trade is going to go with your portfolio, or if it's into your portfolio. If you're wondering why, that's why. This is my website. It's www.marketcompassllc.com. And if you fill out that box there on the front above download, that puts you on my free distribution list for videos and some blog commentary. And it'll also give you a kind of a tutorial. You'll get it over 7 days, one every other day. It's 5 techniques retail traders can use to navigate the market like a big hedge fund do. And it'll come with a video and a PDF, one every other day. I'm just going to talk about myself for a little bit, not to be egotistical, but so you can kind of understand my company's approach to the market. So here we go. First, you can reach me on Twitter at Amelia Bordeaux. Instagram story, I do a lot of intraday market updates actually on my Instagram story. I probably should be better at posting more on Twitter, but you can find me at Market Compass on Instagram story for kind of more intraday updates. For my background, I was an institutional, I come from the institutional space. So I have 17 years of experience on Wall Street, and that entire time I was in global market division at Major Bank. So that's FX sales, trading, and strategy. On the sell side, which means on the investment banking side, I worked at Deutsche Bank, UBS, Westpac, and UniCredit. And why I'm telling you this is because the times that I worked there at Deutsche and UBS, they were the world's largest foreign exchange trader. So they went 1 and 2 in the world during the time that I worked there. So we saw a lot of flow, a lot of FX flow. And I also got to meet a lot of the world's largest client FX trader, meaning the big global macro hedge fund. So I talked to them almost on a daily basis, and I'd go see them in the world, in London, in Switzerland, in California, and certainly in New York, or they were right located very close to the banks. I did work at 2 macro hedge funds. So I did work at 2 hedge funds, and both closed, actually. It wasn't my fault, but one closed. The money was withdrawn because we actually didn't beat the S&P 500 index fund that year. And the second one closed after I had stopped working there, but they did close on kind of a euro short trade. So one huge trade can take out hedge fund. Very interesting. I started my career at the Federal Reserve Board in Washington, D.C., and I worked in the international finance division. So my whole career after I graduated from college until now, I've only worked in international markets. So I've only worked in, you know, global markets, foreign exchange, global fixed income market, and commodity market or global. I did have my own show on CNBC for a while, and I was a broadcast contributor there. And now you can find me on Fox Business News, sometimes Mornings with Maria on Yahoo Finance, and on TD Ameritrade. Here's just some of the stuff I've done and some of the places I've worked. UBS and Deutsche are the main ones for foreign exchange because they were such large dealers at the time. When I worked at UBS, we dealt, we were the largest dealers of the South African Rand in the world at that time. So all global flow, about over one third of all global flow in the South African Rand came through our trading desk via an algorithm on a daily basis. So that was kind of interesting. So my approach to market is very top-down, global macro trading based on my background. So let's just define it. What is global macro trading? And that means it's a top-down view across markets and economies. So we look big picture and then we drill down to the details. It tracks market themes. So market themes are very important. Identifying and tracking market themes are very important to global macro trading. Global macro is discretionary. What does that mean? That means it's not technical trading. It's not an algo trading either. It's discretionary. You take your own positions and make your own decisions as an individual trader. It's flexible, meaning it goes across all different types of market conditions. And we look for big directional moves. So that's what global macro trading does. We're looking for, you know, a relatively large directional move. As I said, market themes are really important to global macro trading. So we track market themes in global macro. And market themes evolve as a result of, largely as a result of event risks. And there are several types of event risks. Several main types of event risk. External shock data, which is economic data, and also financial market data, what spreads are doing, what credit spreads are doing, what equity markets around the world are doing. Politics and geopolitics, and that's kind of defined as general elections, government policies, trade negotiations, trade or tariff announcements. So as you can imagine right now, as you've seen, there's a ton of politics and geopolitics going on that need to be tracked. And it starts even at the U.S. state level. Which states have issued stay-at-home orders? Which U.S. states are lifting stay-at-home orders? What countries globally are lifting stay-at-home orders? I've seen today in the press, the United Kingdom is going to have a two-tiered system to allow children to go back to school starting June 1st. So, you know, there's different policies between countries. Certainly trade negotiations. Look at what we've seen with the trade war all last year between the U.S. and China, and will that reemerge? So a lot going on. Why are markets so uncertain right now? And I know that sounds like that's a ridiculous question, because obviously, everything is due to the pandemic. But they're also really uncertain right now because markets are dealing with the three types of event risks simultaneously. So normally, event risk switches. Like maybe there's bad economic data or very positive economic data. Maybe there's a trade war going on. So it kind of switches back and forth over time between what's driving the market in terms of event risk. But right now, everything is driving the market in terms of event risk. All three types of event risk are driving the market simultaneously. We have an external shock, which obviously is the pandemic. And dealing with that, we're tracking peak infection rates. Are we past peak infection rates? In which countries are we past peak infection rates? In which U.S. states are we past peak infection rates? Hospitalizations. Are we past the peak hospitalizations in U.S. states, in Italy, in London? There's a second round coming in South Korea due to nightclubs being open. There's a lot of external shocks that continue to happen. What is a positive external shock? Those are obviously very negative external shocks. What's a positive external shock that's happening right now? Well, Monday, Moderna came out, the vaccine developer, and announced positive results in their phase 1 trial for a vaccine. That spiked the equity market. So that's a positive external development. All of a sudden, a biotech company has a positive result for phase 1 or phase 2 vaccine. Really positive news. So those are the types of shocks, both positive and negative, we're dealing with right now. Obviously, more negative than positive. Data, economic and financial data. We're seeing unprecedented economic financial data start to be released around the globe. The Bank of England just came out a week ago, and it was on a headline on the Financial Times. There was a photo on the headline of the Financial Times. It was the cover of the newspaper that said, the Bank of England is predicting the worst economic recession in the United Kingdom in 300 years, since 1709, I believe. This is the worst economic forecast in the United Kingdom. We know that in the United States, we're going to see the the worst Q2 GDP number we've probably ever seen. Right now, there's 20.5 million people unemployed in the United States, according to the April payroll number that was just released, and that's only in April. So we're obviously seeing unprecedented economic financial data from around the world and economic data from around the world. And then, as I mentioned previously, we have the politics and geopolitics. People are starting to track very closely, especially here in the United States, what's opening, when, and how they're doing when they're opening. And so getting back to Florida here, I would like to say that, you know, Fed Chairman Powell spoke Sunday on 60 Minutes, and he had spoken Friday before that, I think that was May 15th, on the Peterson Institute. And he emphasized a few things. And one was he emphasized the length of time that this recovery will take. So the Fed is not anticipating a V-shaped recovery, a fast bounce back in the U.S. Economy. They see more of a W or L-shaped recovery. And I think here in North Florida, where things are opening, you know, you can start to understand why when you see things opening. And how I'm understanding it was, about a week and a half ago, I was able to go out to dinner the first time since early March. And it was amazing. It was like everyone was so excited. Everyone was, there was high demand. You had to make a reservation. It was only 25% capacity. And I was like, this is, at first I thought, amazing. Look at all the people. The economy is going to come right back. You know, that was my first thought. I was like, oh, the economy is coming back. Like, look at all the people. Look at all this demand. And then I realized, you know, when I talked to the manager of the restaurant, he told me that, look, this is really tough for them. We're at 25% capacity and 100% overhead and cost. So we're still hemorrhaging money here by serving you guys. Then the tables weren't turning over quickly enough because everybody was so excited to be out and about that they were lingering for a long time. So they didn't get table turnover they needed for that night they had kind of budgeted for. And so you start to see the glitches that are occurring. And it's nobody's fault. The restaurant's being in compliance with state. The people are really excited and happy to be there and spending money, but there's still a challenge to this opening, and the opening is drawn out. So because these openings are drawn out, 25% capacity, 50% capacity, when will we go to 100? We don't know yet. And the costs are higher for complying with, you know, the cleanliness that the states are requiring for coronavirus prevention. It's just a long drawn out process. It's not to say anybody's right or wrong. It's just a drawn out process, and that drawn out process continues to weigh on economic growth. So the external shock is obviously coronavirus. It's an unexpected change that impacted the economy and our financial markets that take place outside of them. And I will say, very fortunately for the United States, which is not like the United Kingdom, the U.S. was in a good economic position heading into this external shock. So we didn't see it coming, clearly, but we had 50-year low in unemployment heading into this. So we were on solid economic footing before this happened. Unlike the United Kingdom. The United Kingdom had been for 4 years in turmoil a bit because of the Brexit and the unresolved Brexit issues that came with it. And as a result, heading into this pandemic in the United Kingdom, business investment had already been tanking. So the United Kingdom's economy was already on the back foot when they got hit this external shock with the pandemic. So, you know, when you're analyzing economies and currencies going forward, it's good to keep in mind the differentiating factors of how they entered the pandemic, and that's very telling for how they may emerge from the pandemic. So here's our external shock, and it's been very clear month by month. So let's just see what happened monthly. So in March of 2020, that's when the closings were start to announce by the U.S. states, which is when they were occurring. That was pretty shocking. I mean, now we look back and we accept it, but at the time it was like, whoa, what's happening? Obviously the COVID-19 positive cases, hospitalizations, and death rates were rising, and you can see this charted and in very detailed tables on the World Health Organization website, and you can see globally how those were peaking, rising and peaking by late March. And of course, because of the closings were ordered, there was a sudden stop to economic activity. In April, most U.S. states and G10 economies had stay-at-home orders in place, and people stayed at home, and the economies were shut down. In May now, 2020, stay-at-home restrictions are starting to be eased here in the U.S. and here in Europe. They were eased earlier in Asia. Economic openings by industry and U.S. states, you know, they're commencing, and the race for a vaccine is on. So those are the things the market's been focusing on in May. So why are these market conditions known as macro markets? Right now, I'm getting a lot of questions because this is macro markets trading. So why are these conditions that we just described in the last slide, why are these macro market conditions? And they are because the markets are theme driven, they're volatile, and when they're volatile and markets are volatile, large directional moves occur. So volatility can be your friend or it can be your enemy. Obviously, there's a lot of challenges that come with volatile markets, but why it's your friend in macro trading is because you're looking for a large directional move, and the largest directional moves occur when there's volatility. So let's look at the VIX index, which is a measure of volatility in the S&P 500, and that's charted here. And you can see that horizontal line January 23rd. That's when we started to hear about the coronavirus. It's not an arbitrary date. I took that date off the World Health Organization website, and that was about the first reported case on the World Health Organization website. So the gray box is March, just March. The yellow box is April, and the purple box is, so this is the VIX index. And you can see that when the infection rate were rising globally, look, we hit a high of 82.69 in the VIX. Everything just surged. Volatility just surged. And I have that horizontal line, 20. 20 is when traders think that markets start to get volatile. So if you ask a trader, especially a foreign exchange trader, when are markets volatile? They'll point you to the VIX and they'll say when the VIX is above 20. Well, look at how volatile it was. It was like at 82, over 82. So this was exceptionally volatile. Then you see volatility start to come down in April when the market kind of accepts the fact that the world will be closed for a while and it's not as shocking anymore. We're still tracking the virus and the numbers start to recede, I guess, by the end of April. And then May, we're down a lot. You know, we're down at 28.4 right now. I made this chart this morning, but we're still above 20. So these are still volatile markets. They may not seem as volatile to you as they did in early April because they're not, but historically, it's still 28.4 on the VIX. So we're still in volatile markets. It's above 20, well above 20. So this external shock, and the external shock was many things. It was coronavirus. It was a sudden stop, the stay-at-home orders. They hit equities very hard. So the red and green line is the VIX spiking, and then the black line is the S&P 500. So when the VIX spikes to 82, that's when the S&P 500 just tanks. That's when we put the low in the S&P 500. So that is March. Then we look here in April, and S&P 500 is largely rising. So I think we fell in the S&P 500 about 36% in March. And we've come back so far about 27-28% until now, until May. That's really remarkable. Maybe it's too remarkable, but you know, that's kind of why longer term retirement investors, so these are not day traders, these are not retail traders, these are investment accounts, so you know, retirement accounts. So long term, when you're investing 5 to say out to 15 or 20 years preparing for your retirement, you know, they say, well, don't, when everything was falling in March, they say, don't remove your equity positions, keep them invested and ride this out. And it's stomach churning. Obviously, do not do this. You're not in a retirement account. And check with your advisor if you are in a retirement account. But the point of this chart also is we were down 36% and now we're back up 27. So if you had pulled all your money out of your equities for your retirement and put it in cash, you would have missed the 27% run up we've just had. So, you know, markets move fast, and you know, it's just interesting to see this in general. But as the market started to increase, the S&P 500 in April, the yellow box, you see the volatility fall. And now they're obviously moving in opposite directions here in the purple box in May. So volatility is falling and S&P is rising still. That correlation, opposite correlation, is coming back. Here's what the dollar index did. So in March, it spiked. So the dollar index is a safe haven currency, the US dollar. And so when things were really bad and the VIX was spiking, the dollar made a new high at 102.93. And then you see now the dollar is down, been weakening as equities over the past week, they have been strengthening. And that 100 level in the dollar index is a pretty significant resistance level. So it was support about, last week it was support and now it's resistance. So we went right through 100 on Monday of this week, the 18th. ranked and we've traded lower cents, and that has to do with risk on sentiment in equities. The US dollar is being driven largely by the US equity market right now and that risk on or risk off sentiment. So let's look at tips for choppy markets, because we're in a choppy market. If you've probably watched TV and seen analysts speaking on it, on financial markets, the S&P 500 is chopping around. It's been chopping around all May. Right now, we're in a risk-on period. That's not to say we can't move to a risk-off period. Why? Because there's so much uncertainty out there, and it's a very headline-driven market. So, Moderna had positive vaccine results that they announced, and then Tuesday, somehow analysts got out there and said these results aren't really as positive as they need to be. And so, this has been swinging the market around. Very choppy trading conditions because the trading is headline-driven right now. So, here's tip number one. Accept the fact that choppy markets are going to persist, okay? We don't have a vaccine yet. There could be a second round of infection. Not every state is fully open in the United States. And as I described just here in Northern Florida, they're opening, but there's glitches to the opening. So you need to adjust your trading style because these choppy markets aren't going away anytime soon. So here's some currency notes on adjusting your trading style for choppy markets. So currently the G10 currency pairs, as I mentioned, are being driven mostly by the US dollar side of the equation. So interest rates across all G10 economies are almost at zero. So rates aren't differentiating the currencies. What is differentiating how currencies are performing is the US dollar side of the equation if you're trading a pair, which means the currency against the US dollar. So right, so a currency against the US dollar is a pair, like Aussie dollar, that's Australia against the US dollar, or Euro dollar, that's Euro against the US dollar. If you were trading across, that's say Euro sterling, so Euro against the British pound. So what I'm talking about here are US dollar pairs. That's what you should be in right now. It's pretty illiquid, I think, to be trading, in my opinion, the crosses. And so most US dollar pairs are being driven by the US side of the equation, dollar side of the equation. And that's not always the case, but it is the case right now. And so the US dollar is being driven by, right now, US equity market moves. Is it a risk on day or is it a risk off day? FX trading should be very short term due to the uncertainties ahead. And you have to stay really nimble with your position sizes, and you have to set your alerts on your phone because these markets are headline driven right now and everything needs to be very short term. And due to the pandemic, the dollar remains a safe haven and the trajectory of the dollar can turn quickly to VIX spikes. And so that's the safe haven nature of the US dollar and the risk on off nature of markets that we're seeing right now. So let's talk about safe havens. So the dollar, the US dollar index is a safe haven. The Japanese yen is a safe haven. The Swiss franc is a safe haven. And gold, these are your traditional safe haven in currency world. I know gold is a commodity, but it's kind of a de facto currency. So let's talk about my preferred safe haven is the US dollar. Why? Because right now, when we're kind of in a global economic and financial market crisis, the Federal Reserve is providing unprecedented liquidity to the market, as is other G10 central bank. And dollars are very in demand, meaning they're a safe haven. And 88% of dollar pairs traded in the world, 88% of all currency trades in 2019, I'm quoting the BIS data, the US dollar was a part of it. So US dollar is very important globally in foreign exchange transactions, very important globally in commodity transactions. So almost all commodities on the open market are priced in US dollars and you need US dollars to buy them. And also the US bond market is considered a safe haven. And so you need US dollars to buy US treasuries. And so globally, when you see a financial and economic crisis like the one you're seeing now, US dollars are highly in demand, which is why the Fed started a facility for US dollar swaps among other central banks in the world. So supply of US dollar liquidity is very important. So you tend to see in times like right now of economic crisis globally, US dollar becomes a safe haven. There's a flight to quality, a flight to US dollar. The yen is also a safe haven currency. And in more normal times, it's usually my preferred safe haven currency, though not right now because not normal time. So the yen is a very risk on, risk off currency with US equities, but it's not performing. It's not performing well. It's not performing consistently right now with a risk on and risk off in US equities. What's performing the most consistently is the dollar, and I prefer the dollar as my safe haven right now. The Swiss franc is a tough one. I worked at UBS, which is the world's largest Swiss bank. So we were obviously one of the world's largest Swiss franc dealers. And the Swiss National Bank manages the currency, so they will come and intervene if they feel like it's getting too strong. A especially against the euro. And so I don't want to trade Swiss franc right now. Gold, I call gold the safe haven of last resort. When really everything is going wrong in the world, gold is usually up. So, and that's the case right now. Gold is another good safe haven that's performing well right now. You need to identify, here's tip number two in trading choppy markets. You need to identify the sources. And by sources, I mean the market themes that are causing volatility to either spike or retreat. So what's causing the choppy trading conditions? What are the market themes causing this? And why is tracking these market themes important? It's important to track them to see how they develop. So you first identify the market theme, then you see how the market themes develop. And the reason why the development of the market themes is important is because it facilitates your generation of trade ideas. When you're thinking about what to trade, you have to identify the sources that are moving the market and see how they develop over time so you know how you can develop a trading idea. It allows you to also manage existing positions. So if you have an existing position on or a portfolio, you can manage these positions accordingly to how the market themes develop. And it lets you develop a feel for the market. You know, a lot of times, you know, when you're sitting as an execution trader at a large bank, foreign exchange trading desk, you'll get a call from a client. And the client's also a huge foreign exchange trader. This may be like a large institutional bank or something that has to that execute a trade. So their execution trader calls you, the execution trader at the desk bank, and they're going to ask you, how does yen feel to you today? They're asking, how does it feel? Does it feel heavy? And the answer is, does it feel heavy? Does it feel volatile? Does it feel light? Does it feel like it's not trading well? Because you watch the market every day, tick by tick, and you know how things are developing in terms of marketing. So over time, you're going to develop a feel for the markets for the individual currencies. And you'll know, like, yen's trading heavy today. Euro is trading heavy today. Euro is having a reversal day. You know it by watching the charts, but you're also going to start to know it by feel as well, because are the markets feeling risk on today? Are they feeling risk off today? Is yen trading heavier than the equity markets say it should be trading or something? So you'll develop a feel, and that's important. What are the market themes right now? This is a ridiculous amount of market themes right now. There's usually only like 3 to 4 market themes in macro in a year. And right now there's like 8 to 10. It's crazy. So that gets back to why are markets so uncertain and why will they be so uncertain at least through the end of the year? And it's because so many things are happening and so many different types of event risks are happening. So these are the market themes right now. Right now, these are the market themes. Nuts. So the market themes right now are the reopening of US states and of G10 economies. They're all reopening. Is there going to be a second wave of COVID-19? Once these reopenings occur, are the reopenings themselves going to generate a second or cause a second wave of the coronavirus and another wave of shutdowns? Maybe they're not. We hope not. Maybe they will. We really hope that they don't. Now they're talking about also the flu season coming up, you know, in the winter time globally. So maybe the reopenings don't cause a second round of coronavirus, but will that be just the regular flu season this winter and the weather change cause a second round of it? There's a lot of unknowns. We have no idea. The bad economic data and the central bank responses in the G10. So we know that we've just seen the start of the bad economic data, and that needs to be tracked. There's a vaccine race on. We just heard from Moderna on Monday, and there's definite vaccine race around the world to see who can find one, if they can find one, and when will it be available. The market's looking at that very closely, and that impacts equity trading very heavily. There's Brexit talks going on still in the United Kingdom, unbelievably. So the EU and the UK trade talks are resuming right now. They haven't come to an agreement, and they need to come to an agreement by December 31st of this year. So right now, there's no trade agreement between the EU and UK, and there needs to be one by the end of this year, or they'll exit in a hard way with tariffs. Are the trade wars resuming between the US and China? And we'll take a look at that a little bit later. And of course, there's a US presidential election in the United States this year. A lot of things happening. So tip number three in trading choppy markets is go back and see how markets or asset classes are reacting to good or bad news on the market theme. And you need to make a cheat sheet of these observations. So here are are some cheat sheet examples. So you may have made a cheat sheet for these in the past. If not, you can, it's better to make it while it's happening. But if you want to learn trading, especially in foreign exchange, go back and look at events and make a cheat sheet in retrospect. So at least you have something going forward. And I'm picking these two possible cheat sheets examples because they can occur again. So how did markets react to the US-China trade war headline? Remember, like in all of 2019, we had US 2018 and 2019, we had all US-China trade war headlines. And that was the main market theme in 2019, driving equities and foreign exchange. Also, and we can see that now US trade war headlines may come back. So that's something that you could refer to because trade war headlines are seemingly coming back. How did markets react to U.S. state closing? So in March, we had U.S. states closing down. Now in May, we have them starting to reopen. What if there's a second round virus? We hope that there's not, but if there is, U.S. states will probably start closing again. And then we can go back and look at the cheat sheet and see how the markets reacted across asset class when initially. So things like this can be useful. Here's an example of one of my cheat sheet example. So this is 2018. You see the dates on the there and you see the events and then the markets and how they reacted. So this is an example of US-China trade war headline. So here you see March 1, the US announces tariffs on steel and aluminum import. That's actually from Europe, but this is trade war stuff. So S&P is down, Dow Jones is down, the US tech sector is down 1.7%. The VIX spike. So the VIX is up 2.6 points on the day. The dollar index is lower. Dollar yen is lower, meaning the yen is strengthening against the dollar. And gold is actually down a little bit. Let's look here at towards the bottom. China announces April 2nd. China announces tariffs on 128 U.S.-made products. So the S&P is down. The Dow Jones is down. The tech sector is down. The VIX is high. The VIX spikes 3.7 points. The dollar index is up slightly, and dollar yen is strong, so yen is strengthening against dollar. Dollar yen is falling, so yen is strengthening against dollar, and gold is up. So you can kind of see throughout the chart that when there is a trade announcement, tariff announcement between the US and China, it's actually, in most cases, negative for the US dollar index slightly. The yen appreciates against the dollar and gold generally appreciates. And it's very negative for the equity market. So there are exceptions, but in general, you can see that's how the market behaves with a tariff announcement between the US and China. So that can inform your decision. Good to know going forward in case the trade wars resume. And could the trade wars resume? Here's the Asia Times on May 19th, yesterday. Huawei, they're talking about. So, President Trump is trying to stop a rollout of 5G with Huawei, and China is not happy about this. So you can see, certainly, I think you will see trade war headlines between the US and China. Here's just something that's interesting too. Apple is one of the leading stocks that's impacted when there's a negative US-China trade war headline. And so these are stocks decline, and they're usually driven, FANG index declines are usually heavily driven by US-China trade war headlines. And these are the largest FANG index declines in 2018 and 2019. I have the day there, the drop in the index, the drop in the overall S&P 500, dollar yen drops, which means when FANG stocks decline, the yen usually strengthens against the dollar. And in all cases but one, when you had a huge drop in the FANG index, gold appreciated. So these are interesting to know because like if a US-China trade war comes back, it really drags down the FANG stocks on the day, you can kind of see, well, yen should strengthen and gold should strengthen. You want to shorten your trading time horizon and stay nimble in uncertain markets and in these choppy markets. So that's tip number four to trading choppy markets. Shorten the time horizon and stay very nimble. And things can help you to stay nimble. And one of those things is set alerts for headlines on market themes. So I have an iPhone and there's a lot of apps that are free, like the Wall Street Journal app is free, CNBC is free, Reuters app is free. And so what I do is I go in and I set alerts on those apps. So I want to hear about Brexit. I want to hear about China. I want to hear about coronavirus. I want to hear about Apple. I want to hear about earnings reports in the US. I want to hear about Europe. I want to hear all central banks, ECB, Federal Reserve. So I set alerts on the phone and they pop up on my phone when they occur. They just pop up as a message, and I'm able to see right away if I'm out or if I'm not in front of my screen, what is happening. And so I know what to do accordingly. How do I know what to do when these things occur? Well, I have a trading plan for various scenarios. And those trading plans usually stem from me watching the development of the market themes like we talked about. But also the trading plan stems from the cheat sheets that we just talked about. So we know if the FANG index is down super heavily, that yen appreciates and gold appreciates most likely. So if I hear that Apple is tanking on the day because there's a very negative headline about the US-China trade war that impacts Apple, I know that gold is probably going to be up. I know that yen is probably going to be strong. So I can get in front of my screens and look at dollar yen. I can look gold futures. Okay. So that's how you kind of have, that's one of the ways you can have a trading plan, is to look back at your cheat sheet and know how the market responded and plan accordingly. You also need to be aware of correlations. Correlations are very important for foreign exchange. I'll show you an example of that pretty soon. So as I said, your cheat sheet can equal a trading plan. So while you don't know what the outcomes of events are going to be, you can have a way to proceed once a headline or once occur. And that's based on how the markets responded previously. And also what I just said, you really need to set your market alerts, especially in these volatile and uncertain markets right now where there's so many things going on. Here's an example of a trading alert I got. This is a good one. This is a while ago, almost a year ago, May 30th, 2019. Also set your alerts to Twitter for President Trump's tweet. So here's a tweet off President Trump's account. I was at the gym when this happened. I was at the gym in my condo building. So that was on the first floor. This was after market closed. So this was like that 3:30 p.m. time is not the time I went back and looked at it. But this tweet came around like 5 o'clock. So I was at the gym after equity market closed. And here he goes on Thursday, May 30th, 2019. He announces a 5% tariff on all goods coming into the U.S. from Mexico. And it just popped up on my phone. I was like, are you kidding me? So I went back upstairs because even though equity markets are closed in the U.S., futures are trading and foreign exchange is open. So I go upstairs. So what is this going to impact? It's going to impact dollar Mexico, right? This is a huge impact on dollar Mex, the headline. So you know, when this happens, you want to go long the dollar against the Mexican peso because this is super negative for Mexico. So sure enough, here we go on the next slide. This is my Bloomberg screen on the day. I go upstairs and this is dollar Mex. It just spiked 4%. So I knew what to do and I knew when to do it because the headline came out and I got an alert. If I hadn't had an alert, I would have missed this move. You know, at least maybe you missed part of it, but you can catch some of it. So you know, when this occurs, dollar Mex just spiked because when that headline came, he's imposing tariffs on Mexico. That's negative for the Mexican peso. And so this is a really good example of how something can happen so quick. Here's another example. This is March 19th, 2020. This is when Governor Gavin Newsom issued the stay-at-home order for California, which at the time to me seemed unbelievable. I mean, not unbelievable from a health perspective, that made sense, but it was just unbelievable from somebody who's worked at the Federal Reserve Board. And California is the largest economy in the United States, the largest state economy in the United States. It has an economy about the size of Italy. It could be a G7 country on its own. When I heard about the California stay-at-home order, it was devastating. I was just, wow. From an economic standpoint, I thought, this is going to be so tough. So here we go, March 19th, the stay-at-home order. You see the S&P 500 right there. Puts the low in the S&P 500. So the S&P moves to the low of this cycle, the 2237. The US dollar index moved to the high of 102.93. And gold futures, that was the start of the ramp up in gold futures, was the California stay-at-home order. Good to know. So in case, we hope it doesn't happen again. May 18th, this was Monday, 2020. This is the positive Moderna vaccine news. So we got the positive vaccine news. That's Moderna. They have a stock, actually. So Moderna puts in a high on its own stock. There was a risk-seeking day in markets. Risk on the S&P 500 on Monday was up about 1.8%. And because it was risk-seeking, the safe haven dollar backed off. There was no need for a dollar safe haven. And the dollar index was down 0.75% on the day. So when we get vaccine news, whether it's Moderna or whether it's somebody else, another drug developer, it's a risk on day and the markets looks like S&P's up, dollar's down. Lastly, be aware of correlations. So there's some strong correlations now happening in G10FX, and the Australian dollar is one of them. And this is the 6A future as well, if you're a futures trader. Right now, futures and spot prices are very similar in FX because there's no interest rates, right? Interest rates are zero. And that's what determines, one of the factors that determines how futures price departs from spot. But right now, they're pretty similar. So this is a spot chart of Aussie and S&P 500. But if you were going to look at the 6A future and also chart S&P 500 or SPX futures, it would look the same. So here's the Aussie in purple and the S&P 500 in red and green. And look, they're very correlated, very correlated. So what is this chart telling you? If there's an update in the S&P 500, don't fight it by shorting Aussie. Go with Aussie. Go long Aussie. If there's a down day in the S&P 500, especially a large down day, you probably want to look at shorting Aussie intraday, or that 6A contract intraday. That could be, watch the correlation though. You can see it every day if it's tracking or not tracking. If the S&P is up on a day it's tracking, then you know what to do. And if it's down on a day where the correlation is still tracking, then you have an idea of what to do. Here is the S&P 500 with the Kiwi dollar. This is spot, but it looks very similar. Once again, if you look at the end contract future, Kiwi dollar is in blue, S&P 500 is in red and green. So not correlating as closely as Aussie. Aussie's, you see back here, go back. Aussie's tracking closer. Kiwi's not tracking as close, but it's moving in the same direction. So another one to watch. See how that correlation develops on a daily basis. And check Aussie and Kiwi continually for this correlation. And when equities are having a strong up day or a strong down day, take a look at the futures for Australia and for New Zealand. 6A, 6N. Know the event risk calendar. That's the last tip for trading choppy markets. Because you need to be able to control what you can control. So you can't anticipate when a vaccine announcement is going to be made or when a trade tariff is going to be announced. We don't have a way to anticipate that. But we do have a way to anticipate the data calendar and the earnings calendar. So we need to know major events on that. And here's some key dates, for example. So June 1st, there's another round of trade negotiations starting between the United Kingdom and the UK. We don't know how those trade negotiations will go, but we know that they start then, and we know that there'll be headlines throughout June on this trade announcement or lack of trade negotiation or lack of trade announcement. So we know that in June, we should be watching the British pound because this is a good time that there'll be a lot of talk back and forth with the EU about a very important Brexit deal or no deal, and it's going to impact the pound. June 5th is the US May payroll employment. So we got April payroll employment already, which is pretty devastating. It was down 20.5 million. And now the market, I think, will be, the market on that day, we got the April payroll number down 20 million. Didn't really do much. It kind of shook it off. I think equities were kind of up for the day. I'm not entirely sure that'll be the case for the next one, for the May payroll employment. If it's down, I mean, it'll be down, but how heavily it'll be down. And so I think it'll be a little bit more watch, the May payroll. July 30th is US Q2 GDP. So we know that that number will be devastating. And we've never seen a number like that in the US. And it'll probably be a volatile time in the market, or a volatile morning in the market. This is the same list as before. Market things, we need to track them. As I said, nuts that there's so many market themes right now. Will there be a vaccine? Are there Brexit talks going on? Will a trade war resume? There's a presidential election in the United States, reopenings of US states and economies and how they're going. People are watching the United very close. People are watching the United States very closely. Nothing's really been lifted in New York City yet. So a ton of stuff going on. How can I help you? I can help you track these market themes. Throughout my career, I've worked the recessions, the Greek debt crisis, the banking crisis. I've been in the market since 1998. I'm an event risk specialist because my background is global markets and global macro. I can help you track and navigate these market themes and to watch the development of it. I do this primarily through my global macro event risk webinar, which is held monthly, and then it has email updates on the market developing. And if we need to do another call, we do another call or webinar throughout the month. And it takes place usually the third Wednesday of the month. It's live event, so you can ask questions on the live event. It's also recorded. You'll get the recording about 30 minutes after it happens. And you can, if you can't make it live, join us live. You can email me with questions after you watch the webinar. And what you get is a live monthly 60-minute webinar. You get access to the webinar automatically with emails post-purchase. You get the replay display links as well. So why do you need this? Why is it useful? Even if you're not a macro trader, or even if you're not an FX trade, interestingly enough, why will this macro event risk webinar help you? It's going to give you knowledge of the event risks and the dates to help you navigate the markets. So even if you're a technical, the dates are going to help you know what days the markets could be more volatile than others, like the morning of the ECB meeting and what they could announce, or the payroll report morning, or the GDP report morning. It's going to give you the calendar, and not a calendar of everything that's going to happen, a calendar that's curated by me, what I think the most volatile events and days will be. And so if you're a technical only trader, if you're watching certain levels, your levels could break during these times, and that's why it might be helpful to you. If you're an FX trader, we certainly talk about FX strategy, and FX trade ideas, and FX opportunities and challenges on this call, the webinar, and we track the market development. So if you're a longer term trader, maybe only in retirement, a wealth management person, this helps you stay on top of how the market themes are developing as well. And it may help you make decisions for your own money as well, because right now we're in a recession. Where can you find the Global Macro Event Risk Webinar? On my website. If you go to the product tab, just pull it down and there'll be webinar. It'll say webinar. And you can, there'll be a video there, a 2-minute video, and it kind of describes and talks about the webinar a little bit more. And if you scroll to the bottom of the page, you can subscribe monthly, which is $40, and it's month to month. So you can cancel anytime before the next one. There's also an annual subscription, which brings the price down a lot. But if you want to try it out, I would suggest first do the monthly subscription, and then you can email me if you want to upgrade to annual, it's less expensive, or just stay month to month to have the maximum flexibility. Things are going to be very volatile through the end of the year. There's a lot of market themes. So I think that this can really help your trading, and I'll help you track the market themes, stay on top of them, help watch them develop, and give you days that I think will be more volatile than other days. So that's macro markets trading and how to trade in uncertain times. Thank you so much for joining me. Here's where you can reach her and Instagram Dory again. But I want to thank you for joining. Feel free to reach out to me with questions, and especially on the webinar. The webinar's tonight, actually. I'm sorry to put pressure on you. It's tonight.